This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now, you're multitasking. But what if you could also be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. So multitask right now. Get your quote now at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
For the world's greatest athletes,
this is the showdown we've been waiting for.
There is nothing like competing on the world's biggest stage.
It's a world record again!
Gold for the United States!
And when that stage is Paris, anything can happen.
I have never seen anything like this.
How about that?
An Olympics unlike any other.
What a performance!
The Paris Olympics. Friday, July 26th on NBC and Peacock. Sunday, May 26th, the greatest spectacle in racing returns. The Indianapolis 500 on NBC and Peacock. 33 of the world's fastest drivers go head-to-head for a chance to kiss the bricks, taste the milk, and claim their place in racing history. Experience the drama, the pageantry, the tradition. Live from the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, the Indy 500. Sunday, May 26th on NBC and Peacock. Or listen on Sirius XM NBC Sports Channel.
I think we're all curious how it all plays out. There may be some teams that, you know, hold what they're doing until week one and not necessarily in the preseason, but we'll kind of see how it goes. Hopefully we'll be covering some kicks and getting some kick returns and in the punt game. I think that's a big aspect of this as well, is getting some live coverage reps and hope, you know, you don't love to punt all the time, but it's okay to get some punts in there, some punt return opportunities for all of our young players.
Well, we lost sound from Stanford during that clip, so we don't know if we have technical difficulties right now or not.
I hope they can hear us.
I hope they hear us. I hope the show's going out. We see confusion in the mobile control room, so I guess we just keep going.
We'll just go.
Presumably, right. This is going somewhere. I mean, if nowhere else, we'll just keep these guys entertained while we talk about potential changes to the kickoff rule. But off it went. During Stefanski, both of us kind of are like, whoa,
right.
We can't hear anything.
Right.
All right, so we proceed. The new kickoff rule is debuted tonight, and the new kickoff rule for 2023 is that a fair catch between the goal line and the 25 on a kickoff becomes offense gets the ball first and 10 at the 25.
Right.
That's the strategy for reducing the number of kick returns. They don't have a better solution, so our only solution is reduce the number of kick returns.
Right.
So it's temporary. It's a one-year thing. There are many special teams coaches against this. There is a notion of unintended consequences. We've heard about mortar kicks, squib kicks. Will teams deliberately try to put the ball in play in a way that makes it impossible to get a fair catch in the hopes of tackling the return specialist inside the 25? Those are all things that we're going to see play out. The overriding objective, as stated by the league, is to reduce the number of concussions.
Yeah.
The thing they won't say is they want to avoid a catastrophic neck injury like Kevin Everett or Eric LeGrand.
Right.
I think they don't want to speak that. They don't want that out there. They don't want to jinx it.
Sure,
But I believe that embedded within all of that, that's the thing. They don't want someone dying on the field.
Yeah.
And I think that was the ultimate thing that pushed this. They almost had it happen in Cincinnati on January 2nd. We can't have this kick return play where you got guys running at each other full speed. Average speed of the guy running down is 17 miles per hour. The two guys collide. They dip their helmet. They hit C5, C6, crush, spinal cord, paralysis, problem. So that's why they're doing it, and we'll find out all year long whether or not it works.
I'm interested to see where this goes. I mean, the kickoff is the most violent collisions in football. So I understand the NFL being worried about that, right? And trying to make adjustments to that. Some of the biggest hits I ever saw in my career were definitely on kickoff return. Right, so I understand that people getting concussions on that and a left and right. The NFL is trying to fix that. I want to see what the, you know, I know there's a lot of talk about the unintended consequences and all that, right? But, like, I don't know. I got to see it to believe it. You might see some experimenting in the preseason, but, like, are you telling me, like, we're going to squib it every time now and take the chance of, I don't know, when you're going to give the ball to the 38-yard line to the offense? Or, you know, I just don't know what the, you know, I hear some tough talk from some coaches right. and everything about, oh, the unintended consequences. And I just, you know, I've thought about this a lot to go, what is it going to be? You're going to. What are you gonna? I mean, the options are limited here. That's where I don't understand where some of these special team coaches are gonna do to make this any different or whatever.
And I think part of this is that we hear unintended consequences get thrown around as a justification for changing rules, not changing rules, changing back, abandoning plans. I think that because so many special teams coaches are against this move and they view it as an assault on the kickoff, life, and the kickoff may be gone, that they're puffing
trying
and
to
puffing.
Find a way to
That it's not a matter of it being natural unintended consequences. We're going to take advantage. We're going to search for loopholes. We're going to make you regret this. That's the attitude that some of
seems
them have.
Like it. Right.
We're going to come up with a way to make you feel like you did something stupid. Yeah. We're going to expose the flaw in this. It's actually going to result in more concussions, not fewer concussions in 2023 on this play.
It does seem like that, right? That there's that's the pushback. And I understand that. I mean, we all, as football players and coaches, we want to keep the traditions of the game alive, right? But times change. Players change. They're faster and stronger and bigger and more violent than ever. So that's where it is a little different that way. And I, you know, applaud the NFL for trying to make the right decisions here to protect the players. But yeah, you know, I hear that talk a lot. And I got to see it a little bit. You know, again, I think the squib kick is going to be too risky, right? I can't imagine teams living in that life like consistently over and over. You know, I mean, the high pop kick that's gone. It doesn't matter if it's close. The guy's going to fair catch it. So there's nothing there, right? So I don't know what the unintended consequences are. And I think ultimately what's going to happen in my heart of hearts is we are going to see less returns and you're going to see more fair catches and people are going to get the ball at the 25-yard line and the play is going to become less of a staple of the NFL culture. And that's why, I don't know, this whole thing you wrote about yesterday and the XFL thing and all that, I could see that having a future, and I kind of like it. And it'll keep the coaches coaching and have them have to be tactical with how it is, and I'll let you lay it down, but lay it out.
And before we talk about XFL option, I think that the right way to deal with this rule change is strategic, tactical, game by game, have a plan. You know, who's the returner? How good is the opposing team's return specialist? Do I want to force a return? Or am I content to give him the ball at the 25? How do I feel about my kicker's ability to effectively squib it and not have the ball, you know, end up at the 40? Is there a chance that maybe one of these squibs is going to hit one of the return players and it's a live ball and we can get it? You know, there's an analytics concept to this.
Right.
Where what's our best strategy? Is there a strategy that we should do this all the time because X percent of the time – we're going to get the ball here, or they're going to get the ball there.
Yeah.
And so there's that broader formula, what makes sense, and then there's the more specific against this team with these players, facing their players, what makes sense. So it's the kind of thing that Bill Belichick could burn up 40 hours
thinking
and talking
about. Different ways,
about.
Right. If you have a great returner, okay, yeah, so you still might be going, okay, 25, but whatever, we'll take the chance, and if we get the ball at the 22, so be it. But we're going to take the chance with this great returner that we got that, you know, he might bust it every now and then for a touchdown, or we might get out to the 45-yard line. But I feel like, you know, I'll say this, with some of the top teams in football, with the better quarterbacks in football, I more times than not would just fair catch it. Give the ball to Allen and Mahomes on the 25. Two completions and we're in field goal range. Why mess up that formula? And, so that's where I'm interested to see where this whole thing goes this year.
Yeah, and again, they're trying to make the play safer. They're trying to come up with other alternatives. They want to keep the play in the game if possible. And one of the options that the NFL is exploring is the XFL kickoff, which is, I call it the electric football kickoff.
Yeah, a little bit.
Because you've got 20 guys, 5 yards apart, stationary. The play begins, and the only people that can move before the ball is caught, kicker and the return specialist. Once the ball is caught, it's like turning on that little red button on your electric football game, and off they go. And they're lined up 5 yards apart. So it reduces the high-speed collision. That's what the NFL is trying to take out of the game.
Right.
17 miles per hour. You're not going to get up to 17 miles per hour when you've got 5 yards apart when the return man gets the ball. So this is something the league is considering. They're studying the data from the XFL's usage of that kickoff configuration.
Right.
Now, the NFL, I'm told, is exploring multiple options, but I spoke with someone yesterday who said this is what they're going to do.
Yeah.
This is the one.
Right.
And also, it's going to be a mess because when you have NFL caliber players lined up that close to the ball, they're going to go make the tackle. The returner is never going to have a chance, and it's going to be an ugly mess. Now, I don't know that I buy that because there's that attitude of how dare you change what's fine.
Right.
But that may be the next experiment.
We'll see.
For 1 year.
Yeah.
Let's see how that goes.
I could see it going here. I could see this being successful. One, I think there's a lot of tactical things you can do as a returner or the kickoff team and how you line up, how you want to play it. With them that close, you're almost like an offense and defensive line. So, you know, if the NFL does things the right way with this XFL kickoff thing, you know, you could see on a kickoff like, hey, you know, and again, I don't know if there was rules in the XFL about how many guys had to be on this side of the hash or whatever. I hope they don't have that rule. They shouldn't. For 5 yards away, the collisions, who cares? Don't worry about it. So you could have plays where, you know, it's like, hey, we got seven guys over here, three guys here, and the returner's behind, you know, in the middle. And you could have them going, hey, behind the seven guys, but now they pull two guys out and around. I think you could actually have more tactical things you could do as a return team or the kickoff team. That would it make special teams coaches happy?
I have a feeling they'll have a requirement as to how
they might,
because they don't want to have guys building up ahead of steam before they collide with someone. They want those collisions to happen in that 5 yard box so you don't have a high speed two helmets hitting each other.
Even if they do, let's just say a 5 and 5 on each side. You know, you still can find ways to, hey, maybe we take two guys over here. You know,
right.
These guys block that way. These two guys go the other way. And we kind of trick, you know, the special teams coverage coming down. And they're thinking, wait, that guy's going over here. You know what I mean? So there's at least some creativity to be had, is what I'm saying.
Assuming that they allow that as well. Maybe
they
just say all you can do is go forward.
If they do that, then yes.
Whatever they want the rule to be is what the rule's going to be.
Right.
Whether it works or not remains to be seen if they even do it. But it is one of the options being considered. Again, someone I communicated with yesterday believes they've already decided to go that route.
Wow.
It keeps the play in the game.
Yep.
It dramatically changes its look. It doesn't just put the ball on the 25. Here's the only problem with it. How in the world do you ever do an onside kick?
You'd
have to pick up the 4th and 15 option, which you and I both know they don't want to do.
Yeah. No.
And you've been against this. I've been fascinated by it ever since Roger Goodell first mentioned it in the Time magazine profile under the Enforcer cover in December of 2012. He threw it out there as something that Greg Schiano had suggested because the Eric LeGrand injury happened when Schiano was the head coach at Rutgers. But your point, I think, resonates with
sounds like
45 Park Avenue,
that
it favors the teams that have a quarterback that can convert on 4th and 15.
Right. Like, you know, hey, like 3rd and 15 are like similar things during a game, right? It's like, hey, we got to get it right here on this play. I mean, Mahomes and Josh Allen and company, they convert more 3rd and longs. I mean, how many times a game we go, oh, they got them in a bad spot, 3rd and 14, and I want to go, no, they don't. This just gives Allen and Mahomes the green light to be aggressive and throw a laser in somewhere. And, yeah, it's going to favor the teams with top-end quarterbacks. What if you have that dual-threat quarterback or something like that who doesn't throw the ball as well, or you don't have that quarterback at all? I do think that's a little bit of a competitive advantage to the teams that have the superstar quarterbacks. And, yeah, to your point, it seemed like the NFL kind of agreed with that when that came up yesterday.
Well, you better have a plan for onside kick. You better have a plan for the team that's trailing by more than one score to have a chance to stay in it. As Roger Goodell said nearly 10 years ago, who he roots for the team that's trailing.
Right.
They want the game to continue to be exciting and the team that's behind that scored to have a chance to keep the ball.
The other thing I like about the XFL thing here and that kickoff, I think you could start to see the better players be the returners. because it's not going to be quite as a chaos mess, right? You're going to go, wait, they're right here. Now you're just catching the ball. Like, you're a receiver. You're catching the ball in the middle field. You got to make some people miss. So now you go, hey, put Ja'Marr Chase back there. This play ain't that crazy anymore. He can see these guys coming. They're not coming out of everywhere. It's kind of everybody's from a dead stop to where that could be something that could excite the fans once you start to put, you know, Saquon Barkley, Ja'Marr Chase, Justin Jefferson back there to return some of these plays.
Now, the NFL, as it should, continues to be very concerned with reducing concussions.
Yeah.
And one of the strategies that was implemented as of last year, the Guardian cap.
Right.
The big foam padding, low-tech solution. With all the high-tech stuff they're doing with the funky helmets, position-specific, designed a certain way to reduce the application of forces, the latest one, the quarterback helmet that provides protection at the back of the head because the quarterback's head hits the turf. We saw that with Tua Tagovailoa multiple times last year. The Guardian cap is just, let's just put more padding on the outside of the helmet. It makes it create less of an impact when it hits another helmet. Okay, it's working. It's working well. 52% reduction in concussions compared to the three prior years based on the period they used it last year early in camp. Now it's not just through week two of the preseason. It's all of the preseason. They're using it in the regular season. They've expanded the group of players that have to use it. Other players use it voluntarily. Receivers, for example, that great catch we saw from George Pickens, he was wearing it. Here's the question. And I think that it creates a real dilemma for the NFL. Will they wear it in games if it's that damn effective? And the pushback would be, it looks like crap.
It does.
It takes away from the presentation of the game.
It looks stupid.
It takes away from the logos, right, and all those things that they've been marketing.
Yeah.
Look at all the time spent this offseason. They sent out the release yesterday. Look at all the different helmets, all the Eagles and their throwback, and the Buccaneers and the Patriots, and the alternate helmet for the Lions, and the Duke helmet that Colt's going to wear. You know, you put that – how do you ever make that look good when you have that big, giant – padding on top of the helmet? It doesn't look good. And one of the reasons football is so popular is it looks good on TV.
Definitely.
People find it compelling. And most people are going to see that and say, that's not the football that I like watching on TV.
I would agree.
Where do you go? How do you balance that?
I first off, the technology of the normal helmet is continuing to get better, right? You know, we're doing things by wearing them in practice that's certainly helping out players. One, it looks stupid. Two, you know, like we heard yesterday from the NFL, the skill guys don't love it because of the way at least it attaches to the helmet right now. It messes with the peripheral vision.
I didn't see it.
Well, yeah, it was all right there. Right. But I could see that. It is big and clunky and whatever else there. And let me just throw this out there, too. You want to talk about unintended consequences. We have more bullcrap penalties in the NFL right now of, oh, his head hit his head. And we go, well, no, his head's just big and the helmet's big. He didn't try to hit him with his head, but it hit.
Now
you
bigger.
Got the Steve Kelso Buffalo Bills bobblehead thing on. We're going to sit there all the game. Oh, he hit him in the head. He hit him in the head.
You can never get it out
of the
way.
Well, his head is 74 feet big now. So, what? Of course he hit him in the head. What are you going to do?
Yeah. Look, I think what will happen is the NFL will come up with a justification for not using them in games that will be unrelated to they just don't look good.
Let's not go so crazy here.
I know, but my point is this. They found a way to reduce concussions in practice.
Right.
And if those Guardian caps work so damn well, and if you truly are concerned about limiting concussions anywhere and everywhere that you can, the argument is use them in games.
Yeah.
What if they say we're not going to mandate them for games, but then there's players who say, you know what, I feel safer wearing this. I want to wear it during the game. Right. No, you can't. You can't. We don't want you feeling safer during the game. We'll let you feel safer during practice,
right,
but during the game. And again, they'll come up. My prediction is they'll come up with a reason to not use them during games that won't be they just don't look good. But that'll be the heart of it. They just take away from the presentation of the game. And look, what are they doing? Thursday night, flex. It's all for the people watching on their giant flat screen TVs. It's got to look good. It's got to feel good. It's got to resonate like it always has. And for me, I see those things and I think, oh, God,
exactly.
That's not football.
Right.
What is that?
Right.
And I accept it for training camp practices.
Yeah.
I accept it for practices.
Sure.
But I don't want to see I don't want to see players wearing those during a game, and I don't think players want to wear those. No. You talked about how you'd always how you look in your uniform.
Look good, play good.
You don't want to have that big clunky thing on top of your
head
during a game.
That's where I think it won't happen, because I don't think the NFLPA or the players are ever going to really want to wear it for a game either. So, listen, we're doing the right things. We're getting there in this conversation. We don't have to totally rehaul the greatest game we have in our country right now. We're making it safe. And again, I'll go back to something I said a long time ago. You know, I never thought playing football was good for my health. I never was sitting there going, you know, I watched my dad get crushed by Reggie White all these years, and now I'm getting crushed by Ray Lewis. Damn it, I'll probably live to 97 now. Damn, I'm going to be – I mean, come on. These guys, we know what we signed up for a little bit. It's part of the game a little bit. They're doing the right things here. I just hope we don't go overboard with some of this stuff.
And look, I've been saying this for years, and I'm surprised it hasn't happened yet. The more they change the game in the name of making it safer, the more they run the risk of somebody with a ton of money, like maybe somebody sitting on billions in oil money.
Yeah, the Saudi Arabians.
Creating a competitive league that embraces the way football used to be.
Yeah, right.
And there's a bridge too far that the NFL is going to go, and maybe it's putting those caps on that opens the door for the public investment fund to say, we're creating old school football, and we're going to turn the clock back to Andre Waters and Reggie White and all the way they played it back then. And you got all those highlights are available on YouTube, and it's jarring when you see it now. It really is. But there'll be guys who sign up for it.
Yeah.
Guys signed up for it then. And even then, like I'll hear people say, you know, they started telling us in the 60s that smoking cigarettes isn't good for you. We knew.
Yeah.
Like the guy that smoked all the time couldn't run half a block without wheezing and coughing. We knew it wasn't good for him.
Right.
Football players have known for years that it's not good for them.
Right.
And they still do it.
Yes, exactly right. They have known. And, you know, I know we have a few bad cases out there and all that. But, you know, as a whole, you know, the NFL alumni base is pretty healthy considering all that. You know, I know they got beat up bodies and stuff like that, but you know, there's a lot more people functioning, you know, mentally than I think the public realizes sometimes, because there's always talked about so much about, you know, the one guy or two guys that have an issue in that department.
Real quickly, something that I know fell through the cracks for us when it was announced, and it was indeed announced, it wasn't hidden, there's no reason to hide it. Turnover on downs is now subject to automatic replay review. So you go for it on fourth down. You don't get it, that play in and of itself, if there's anything to review, if there's anything in there that happened, a line to gain that wasn't reached, a catch that wasn't made, if a turnover on downs happens, it's subject to replay review. If the team that goes for it on fourth down gets it,
there's no review.
Well, unless there's a coach's challenge or it happens in the final
more
2 minutes.
More pressure on the defense again here.
But, but it's one of these other little tweaks where if it goes one way, it's subject to replay review. If it goes the other way, it's not, unless it's otherwise in those circumstances where replay review would happen, starting with the coach's challenge.
Yeah, I mean, I like it to a degree. It should be challenged both ways, either way, right? That's to me. You know, it should be, if they gave them the first down and it was really close, they should review it still. You know, but instead, you know, they want to, he got the first down. Great, let's go. Let's put the pressure on the defense. We like the offense having the ball anyways. Let's see if they can see a replay or whatever and challenges in time, right? That's where I didn't love about it. I thought it was another little advantage to the offense there, but that's the way the world is right
now. Here's what they should do about automatic review. And I've been saying this for a long time, and they haven't listened to me yet, and I have no reason to believe they'll listen to me now. All plays that were a touchdown or would have been a touchdown, if a mistake hadn't been made, subject to replay review.
Right.
All plays that were a turnover or would have been a turnover if a mistake hadn't been made. You know, they rule that the defensive back didn't catch the ball, and he did, subject to automatic review. And then all plays that were a first down or would have been a first down, replay review.
Right.
You don't need automatic review of whether or not
if you got
guy
by 8 yards, good.
It's second and nine.
Right.
Did he gain 3 yards or did he gain 2 yards?
Right.
You know, if the coach wants to use his challenge flag on that,
that's him. Right.
Automatic review for those three categories and overtime, final 2 minutes, and that's it.
Yeah.
And that covers this. Yeah. This would have been covered because if it's first and 10, second and nine, third and six, fourth and two, whatever, if it's a first down, if it extends the drive, automatic review if there was a mistake. Or if it extended the drive and maybe if there was a mistake, it wouldn't have automatic review. it's not that hard.
Yeah.
It's not that hard, and maybe they'll get there eventually. Maybe it won't even matter because ultimately we'll have full embrace of that amorphous concept for now of Sky Judge, which they use sometimes,
right.
And we're not really sure when, not really sure how, but I'm fine with it as long as it fixes mistakes. Anything that makes the calls on the field accurate, I am fine with it if the NFL does it. All right, let's take a break. J.K. Dobbins, Ravens running back, isn't holding in unless he is. We'll discuss that next here on PFT Live.
Back now.
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah, DeMarcus Lawrence.
That's what I want to do to you.
Yeah. Oh, and you have. The cameras just weren't on. Last night, you put me in a full bear hug. Oh, my gosh. That's assault. That's,
oh, I love it. Look at that. He's got a little grin on his face,
man.
The coach.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
DeMarcus Lawrence is he's a physical freak. You know, I can still remember being in that hotel we were at 2 years ago, right, with the Bucks-Cowboys game. And we were in the same hotel as the Cowboys. And he was definitely – one of those guys where you're like, damn, I didn't realize he looked like that. You know, I knew he was a big physical freak, but damn, he's just bigger and freakier than I thought. And those guys are just so big and so strong, you don't even want to play with them.
I'm reminded of something that happened. It's now 18 years ago. I interviewed Nick Saban face-to-face when the Dolphins played the Steelers in the preseason.
He agreed to an interview with you?
Yeah, it's a long story. It's a long story. I'll tell you sometime. But anyway, I'm waiting to meet with him, and the team arrives, and they're walking in one after the other to the elevator, right, in the hotel, and they're just streaming in, and I'm just standing there and waiting for the – and, you know, see, a lot of the guys just look like normal guys.
Right.
They just look like normal human beings.
Yeah.
They're just larger versions of the normal human being, yeah, just some guy you'd see on the street, some guy you'd see at the store, whatever.
Right.
And then here comes Junior Seau.
Yeah.
And holy crap. I mean, I wanted to run and hide.
Right.
I mean, he just was so just –
Jack,
yeah,
thick neck
and huge
broad
and
shoulders.
Yes.
Right. I know.
He's the one,
yeah,
that stood out of all of them.
Right.
All of them really looked fairly normal.
Right.
Junior Seau, I wanted to go running home.
You know, more times than not, the guy that you think stands out on the football field, on watching him on TV, when you meet him in person, there's something that's physical that stands out too, more,
yep,
times than not. And yeah, that would be a good example for sure. He was a legend.
Hassan Reddick, a standout with the Philadelphia Eagles. He's moved around from team to team. He's been successful everywhere he's been. There's an issue of contract. Is he happy with his contract? Here is Reddick being asked, where does he fit in with the pass rusher contracts going up and up in value?
Keep coming out, keep working, man. Those type of things have a way of sorting themselves out. You know what I'm saying? So I'm going to just continue to come out, work, prepare myself. Like I said, continue to be a better version of Hassan Reddick. Continue to be a great teammate. Go out here, work hard for the guys, you know, and let those things sort themselves out as they should.
Are you underpaid?
Say it again.
Are you underpaid?
I mean, I ain't going to sit here. I mean, like I said, you know, y'all see it. Y'all know what's going on. Like I said, I'm worried about being the best version of myself and letting everything else sort itself out.
Reddick signed a 3-year deal with the Eagles last year.
Right.
$15 million per year, is tied for 16th among edge rushers. He was an impactful player
right,
for the Eagles last year.
Right.
He delivered the legal hit on Brock Purdy.
Yeah.
Resulted in the Eagles getting to the Super Bowl, because who knows what would have happened that day if Purdy's able to play the whole game. Not that he tried to do it, but it was a pretty big factor,
yeah,
cause and effect,
right,
in the Eagles getting to the Super Bowl. He's had some huge performances in his career. He has had to go around from team to team. He did the 1-year deal with the Panthers. Now he's in year 2 of a 3-year deal with the Eagles. I think he'd like more money. You know, the Eagles got a lot of mouths to feed. They got a lot of great players. And,
yeah,
you know, they paid Jalen Hurts. What are they going to do with Hassan Reddick? I don't know. But, you know, he's there and he's playing. And like we said with the running backs, they use your love of the sport against you.
Yeah.
He's not going to walk out. He's not going to lollygag. He's not going to go out and not try to sack the quarterback on every single play. That's what he does, and that's what he thrives on. And if he's not happy with his contract, I don't see a solution other than hope that the Eagles decide to rectify it, to make you happy.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think we're there yet with this conversation. That's right. I just think this one's a little premature. And I'm always for players getting money. He's getting good money. The people looked at when he got that contract last year, we all went, damn, that's pretty good for Hassan Reddick. You know, I know we put up the graphic there, right? He had 7 sacks in his first 3 seasons as a football player, 7.5. All right, the last 3 years, right? Now it's gotten to, 39 sacks over the last 3 years. So certainly special, right? He's a smaller edge type of guy. He's kind of he's almost has a little bit of the Micah Parsons-ish, even though he's a DN, where he can play linebacker, he can play DN, he can do all that stuff, right? But I think the other thing is, hey, he's being paid pretty good. He is. And I don't think anybody thought what he got last year was like below market for what Hassan Reddick was. He had an incredible year last year. I know that it was very good. But here's the question I would pose. And again, I really like Hassan Reddick. That defensive line was phenomenal. You saw the best matchups you could possibly see as a defense end week after week. You had to worry about a bunch of guys on there. You know, they were an all-time sack regular season team was the Philadelphia Eagles. I don't think he's in the class of Myles Garrett or Bosa or Watt quite there. Is he being a little underpaid for what he did last year? Sure. But go out there, ball again this year, do what you did last year, and then they're going to have to rip it up and give you the payday you want. So I think we're a year away from having this combo.
And the bottom line is, yeah, he was on the open market. Right. That's the deal he got. That's what the market – you know, we for the running backs, what we say is we just want them to have a chance to get to the open market and see what the market will do.
Right.
With quarterbacks who are restricted by the tag, it's a shame they don't get to go to the market and see what the market will do.
Yeah.
He was on the market. That's what the market dictated.
Exactly.
He could have done a one-year deal again.
Exactly.
He could have.
Right.
And again – you and I are firmly pro player.
Right.
He could have done a one-year deal. He could have included a clause that says you can't tag me next year, and he could have had that big year and parlayed it into another trip to the open market. But he took what the Eagles offered, and he's got 2 more years to operate under that deal.
He does what he does last year. They're going to go, wait, damn, we want to extend you. We want to keep you. We want to give you an extension and give you more money. They're going to put their hand out and say, here you go. So just go do that, Hassan Reddick. We're all rooting for you.
Unlike Hassan Reddick, who did have a shot to go to the open market and sign his deal, J.K. Dobbins working under his rookie slotted contract. He's entering year 4, contract year. He had a big rookie season, then he tore an ACL, and last year he had knee issues. When he played at the end of the year, his numbers were eye-popping, especially because Lamar Jackson wasn't available. But now he's not practicing. There's questions as to whether or not he's holding in until he gets a new contract. Here's John Harbaugh, head coach of the Ravens. Ask this question. When does J.K. Dobbins become a concern for you?
I don't know. It's a fair question. And there is a point in time where, you know, it does become a concern because, you know, he knows. And J.K. and I talked last night. We talk a lot. He wants to be out there, and he needs to be out there, just like any player does. Other than that, there's nothing else I can really add. I don't know when he's going to come back, but I know I'm going to be really happy when he does. Well, you miss J.K. You know, I mean, he's the player. You know, you want him out there. He's a great player, and it's one less great player we have out there.
Around any corner, within every battle, and with the dawn of each new day, the threat of the unexpected, the unpredictable, and the unrelenting lies in wait. But Marines will always be there. They are the constant in the chaos. No matter the battlefield, Marines adapt to win, defeating every shifting threat, protecting our nation's future. The few, the proud, the Marines.
For the world's greatest athletes,
this is the showdown we've been waiting for.
There is nothing like competing on the world's biggest stage.
It's a world record again! Gold!
And when that stage is Paris, anything can happen.
I have never seen anything like this.
How about that?
An Olympics unlike any other.
What a performance!
The Paris Olympics. Friday, July 26th on NBC and Peacock.
I'm ready to go.
Streaming now only on Peacock. 5 rich and famous international soccer stars. They have everything except love.
I think girls in the past have gone for me because of what I've got.
That's why we're going undercover.
We're setting them up with single American women.
They don't know we are famous. They don't know we are rich.
And they'll have to hide their true identity.
What do you need for work?
I'm an ad salesman.
Oh, God. What am I doing?
Love Undercover. New series streaming now only on Peacock.
Melvin Gordon added recently of J.K. Dobbins, I didn't even know he's sitting out, but J.K. is sitting out. They're not even making a big headline out of it, unless you're in India, I guess, and they got other players sitting out. I didn't even know he was sitting out until I came here. And look, I don't know how much of that tells on J.K. Dobbins.
Yeah.
But if you have a knee issue, and remember, didn't he start on the physically unable to perform list?
Last year.
I think he did this year, too, just for
a day
or two.
Yeah, yeah, I think you're right. Yeah, yeah.
And there are whispers out there of knee condition and maybe maybe bone on bone.
Exactly.
And that's a young
cartilage,
age
right.
to be in a position where you've got no cartilage in your knee and,
right.
you know, possibility of lubricating shots to get the knee in a position where it can perform.
That, right.
And
Sony and, Michel kind of had this.
And he
thing.
Wants his contract.
Right.
He wants his contract. And that's the problem. There's this weird balance for running backs. If you do a lot, they find a way to use it against you when it's time to negotiate a contract. If you haven't done enough, they use it against you when it's time to negotiate a contract. Even if you've shown flashes that would suggest, if healthy, you are a valuable piece of the puzzle, you still need to do enough to get them to agree.
Agreed.
That you deserve that.
Right.
So just like Jonathan Taylor, I think J.K. Dobbins is in checkmate. And at some point, he's got to be able to play, assuming he's physically able.
Yeah.
He's got to go play. Like Roquan Smith last year, holding in with the Bears. And the Bears were fine with it. And it was out in the open. It wasn't, you know, maybe he's injured. At some point, though, the process ends and you've got to show up. And we've yet to see one of these situations play out to the point where the team and the player are so much at odds that you get, you know, a suspension for conduct detrimental to the team or just some blow up like that. But this thing just has a vibe that it's heading somewhere that's not good.
No, it's not. I mean, you know, again, you know, like you just said a minute ago, we want players to get paid. This is one where I don't think J.K. Dobbins is being realistic about the situation, at least not right now. Go out there, play another year, have a phenomenal year, and Mike Florio and Chris Sims will be banging on the table for you to get paid. He's played 3 years. He's got 1,300 yards rushing. He came off a serious knee injury. Yeah, he looked a lot better at the end of the year, like you said last year. I still don't think the same explosion was there as we saw in that year one. But yeah, I don't think he's got the ground to stand on, not even close as compared to Jonathan Taylor or a Saquon Barkley or a Josh Jacobs right now. So that's where this one's a little bit different here.
Look at his numbers the last five games.
Right. Yeah.
2022.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
Look at the Browns, 13 for 125, 9.6 yards per carry.
Those first two games out of the gate were really damn good. And he's on, oh, okay. So I know there's potential there. He's got two rockets up his butt. He's one of those type of guys when he's totally healthy. But he's not the biggest running back in the world. And he's got a knee issue, and he hasn't done anything consistently at the level yet, at least in my opinion, to be saying, hey, I want a new big contract.
The problem is, if he has a phenomenal year for the Baltimore Ravens this season, they franchise tag him next year.
Yeah.
That's the system. That's why for running backs, at a certain point, you just got to take what you can get, because you're not going to get anything better. And if you push it too hard, whatever that bird in the hand is going to fly away.
Yeah.
And it's unfortunate.
No.
It's not fair.
No.
But that's just the way it is. At some point, you just have to accept it's the way it is.
Yeah.
It's the way the system is structured, and it's your best play.
Right.
Play the game, put in a good year, hope that you can stay healthy, and then you set the foundation for getting paid by the Ravens or someone else next year. And worst case scenario is you get franchise tag and you make 10.1, 10.5, 11 million, whatever the number is next year.
They might have to start readjusting their thoughts here a little bit for a little while until the CBA or something can get figured out. But maybe going more, you know, low average numbers with, you know, just trying to get every penny you can. Okay, maybe I'll take a 5-year deal worth $9 million a year or whatever. They might have to start doing things like that where it's okay, at least I'm just getting the money. And then, you know, I continue to play and just keep collecting that way. But right now, I just don't know if there's a solution in sight that's realistic. At least.
All right, we're going to take a break. Tonight, We're going to watch the backup quarterbacks for the Jets and the Browns. We're going to draft next the quarterbacks we'll be watching most closely in the preseason, the backup quarterbacks, that is, and we'll be watching plenty of them. We'll discuss that next here on PFT Live. Tom Brady has entered into a partnership with Knighthead Capital Management to become a minority owner of Birmingham City Limited. Brady will become chairman of a new advisory board. He made that announcement earlier today, which also happens to be his 46th birthday. So not the kind of football announcement we might have gotten from Tom Brady today. Look, this is a significant day because he's 46. The football season begins. The train is officially leaving the station without him.
Right.
I don't think he's coming back.
No.
I think his strategy is stay so busy with other stuff that I'm not tempted to go back. So now on top of everything else I've got going on, I'm going to be minority owner of Birmingham City FC, and that takes up some of my time. And family takes up some of my time. And the Raiders, which may not happen after this new rule that you can't give employees equity. Mm-hmm. They're going to have to redo that deal, I think. But that takes up some of my time. And getting ready to work for Fox next year takes up some of my time. And there's enough of my time that's taken up that I'm not sitting around saying, I wish I was playing football.
Right.
And I'm not watching games on Sunday saying, those guys all suck. Why can't I be out there? Why am I not out there? What am I doing? This is my chance. This is my opportunity. I'll look back on this 30 years from now and regret that I didn't play as long as I possibly could. And you know what? He will. He will regret that he didn't play as long as he possibly could 30 years from now. But for now, he's determined to not do it. And I think he's got enough plates spinning that he's not in a position where he can even be tempted to come back and play.
Well, I don't disagree with you there. You know, he's probably, trying to stay busy, you know, got some things that he's never done before this time of the year that he's looking forward to doing and all of that. You know, I know when the season was first over, he kept the door cracked open a little bit, right? And was still, I think, had feelers out there a little, but then it stopped. And that's when I got the sense that, okay, it was over. And, I know some people connected to him or whatever else. I get the feeling it's totally over.
Yeah,
that's
I do too.
Sure. Right.
I do too.
You know, he's too much of a psychomaniac preparation guy, I think, to just like, oh, wait, I'm going to get in the season now and play football. I don't think he would do that. So, but I agree with you. He probably wants to stay busy, keep his mind off it. And part of the reason he's Tom Brady is because he is a psycho that way. And he wants to be busy and work and do stuff.
You're right, though. The machine, when it shuts down, it doesn't start up easily. So part of removing the temptation is being so busy that he never is inclined to go out and start throwing quietly, working his way back into shape without anyone knowing, so he's ready just in case. Because that would be the moment. If lightning strikes for a contending team, and I'm not going to name names and be accused of jinxing anyone, but if lightning strikes for a contending team and all of a sudden there's a need for a starting quarterback and he could waltz in and maybe get to number 8 and get himself 6 in front of Patrick Mahomes instead of 5, would he be tempted to do it then? And we'll see. But this is going to be – I know your story is very compelling, your first year when you weren't playing in the NFL and what you went through emotionally. He's going to go through that.
Yeah.
No matter how busy he is, he's going to go through that. Unless he – takes Ambien and sleeps all day on Sunday and avoids TV on Monday and Thursday. I mean, he's going to see what's happening and he's going to be like, I should be out. I could still be out there.
Why? It won't be
at
easy.
Some point, he's going to say to himself, I could still be out there.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think that's what all great quarterbacks go through. You know, I do. I mean, I saw it with my dad my 8th grade year. I mean, he was, and not to say he was Tom Brady, I know that, but he was struggling with it. I mean, you hear that constantly. There's no doubt about it. But, man, if I'm Tom Brady and Tom, like, you could take a deep breath. You won, man. You shouldn't feel antsy about your career or anything. I mean, it was as special can get. I felt like I didn't get to show everybody what I got. You know, that's where it also hurt me. I was like, wait, I'm the star. We went to the playoffs. I'm a starting quarterback. I'm about to get paid and be the man and show everybody how good I was. And it was the 3rd round pick and everybody was wrong. And then I got hurt and it all got cut off. So there was not also a missing of the game, the love of the game. I missed that, but an unfulfilled aspect that I didn't reach my potential to that certainly hurt me. And he won't have that part.
Yeah, he doesn't have that. Yeah. But what's his favorite ring?
Yeah.
What's his favorite ring?
One.
It's the next one.
Right.
There is no next one. And there could be a next one, but he's choosing not to pursue a next one. That's
good for him. He's on a safari with his kids right now.
Safari?
Yeah, he's on a safari with his kids. One of his daughter, I think it was her birthday, and he took them out to Africa. I saw it in the news yesterday or on Instagram. Maybe it was. I can't remember, but yeah.
Maybe they can bring back a real lion for Dan Campbell.
Don't kill any freaking animals over
no,
there.
No, I said you know, a live lion. Oh, okay. I'm not saying, no, a live okay. lion to put on the side.
One of my pet peeves, I mean,
trust me.
The
trust
African me. Animals are dying left and right. We can't. We got, like, you know, rich Americans going over there. Oh, I shot somebody. Look at this. I tricked this animal and shot him. Look how great I am. Like, kiss my butt.
All right, Dr. Doolittle. Here's Dave Canales, the Buccaneers offensive coordinator, regarding the quarterback competition that is playing out in Tampa Bay with Tom Brady not there.
First couple of days, I think the experience that Baker brings, just playing in games, being in camps, going through installs, you know, you could see where the offense was gelling really well. The timing of the snaps and all that's really critical for us. So probably a little bit of an edge for Baker to start off just in terms of the smoothness of the offense. But it just took a couple of days for Kyle to really settle in. And then what we saw is the last two practices, Kyle really showed what he can do, stretching the field with his arm. Getting the ball out quickly, making decisions. So I'm really excited about both of those guys and the progression that they've made throughout the last couple of days.
Baker Mayfield, Kyle Trask, the two contenders. Not that long ago, Antoine Winfield Jr. suggested the Buccaneers were still trying to get Brady to come back, but he's not.
Yeah.
He's not. It's going to be Mayfield. It's going to be Trask. The fact that it's tight, that's not a good sign for Baker Mayfield.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it is. It seems like it's a real quarterback competition. As we know in a lot of these times, like quarterback competitions, they kind of know who they're going to start by the end of OTAs, but they let it go on a little bit. Sounds like Kyle Trask, you know, leaped over some hurdles and started making some plays and opened some eyes at camp to make things a little closer. So we'll see. But it's all, as we know, it's going to get decided as camp goes on here and what they look like in the preseason and who takes advantage of those opportunities. So that'd be interesting to see. But, yeah, I think that's the – is that the only real quarterback competition in the NFL
I
right now?
I think that's
now?
the only true
real
one,
right?
Right, yeah. Because the first-round picks
it's
are
like,
all
it's inevitable,
play.
Right.
They're all going to play.
That's
they're,
right.
they're not even trying to
– yeah.
create this ruse
right.
that they're working their way up the ladder. They've made the investment, their top four picks, the three top four picks. That those are the only first rounders that went right.
Yeah,
am I missing
yeah.
a first
no,
rounder?
No, you're good. You're good.
Will Levis made it all the way to round two.
Round two, right.
That's no competition yet.
No, not definitely not.
There's no other
Zappy and Mac Jones maybe to a degree. It's lingering. I don't think it's a real competition, but if Mac Jones fell on his face for a few days in a row and Zappy was good, I don't know, maybe that would be.
I think Bill Belichick would welcome Bailey Zappi outplaying Mac Jones. Mm. I think Bill Belichick, this is just my own belief.
Yeah.
I think he would like to be able to tell Mac to go sit his ass on the bench.
Man.
I think he would.
Gosh.
All right. So, backup quarterbacks, we will be watching closely this preseason. That's today's draft. Who do you have, Christopher?
Well, I'm going to go to the one that just, like, perks me up the most. And, you know, it hits close to home because it's my friend, too. But, damn. You know, the best team in football, or one of the best teams in football, the San Francisco 49ers, have Sam Darnold. That's the guy I can't wait to watch in the preseason. If Brock Purdy can't play or isn't quite 100%, Sam Darnold has the ability and now finally the support system around him to where he can make things interesting. You know, that's the one I look at more than any. And then, of course, hey, Brock Purdy, he's just off his rookie year. He didn't get an off season. And, he didn't get to throw much. And he's just getting back in the swing of things. How good will he be right now? So Sam Darnold, I think, has a chance to put some real pressure on this situation if Brock Purdy is not hitting on all cylinders, you know, come the end of training camp.
Anytime I say this, 49ers fans lose their minds. But this is hardly a hot take. Depth chart is Purdy, Darnold, Lance.
Yeah, I know.
That's what it's going to be.
Right.
Lance is number three.
Mm-hmm.
Even though they haven't said it, if you pay attention to it constantly and you listen to the noise that's been coming out of the 49ers ever since they added Darnold, Brock Purdy is QB1, Sam Darnold is QB2, and Trey Lance is QB3.
Right. I'm with you all the way there. I am. It seems like, hey, they're happy with the way Trey Lance has looked, but happy enough to start throwing him into injecting him into the starting quarterback or backup role? I don't think so at all. And, yeah, I think that's part of the reason Sam Darnold's there in the first place, right? If they were so confident that Trey Lance could be that guy, they would have gone, hey, Trey's our backup. He's good. He's our guy. And if he's got to start early in the year, we'll do that. And then we'll sign somebody else. But they didn't do that. It kind of speaks to its, you know, the whole situation right there, smack in your face.
Next one for me, Zach Wilson, we already talked about him. Obviously, anything he does is going to be magnified. It's going to be scrutinized. It's going to be studied. Is he learning anything from Aaron Rodgers? How's he dealing with any adversity he might encounter? And what will Aaron Rodgers have to say after the games to maybe prop him up? This is the game within the game for the New York Jets, laying the foundation for Wilson's career after Rodgers is done. How he plays during this preseason will help us understand how difficult or easy that might be. I don't want to say anything more about it because we talked about it at length to start the show, but Zach Wilson, very intriguing, and we get to see him tonight.
No doubt. I think that's that. If I didn't pick Sam Darnold, I would have gone on Zach Wilson with you there. I'm for sure the one we're watching, you know, to see what he looks like starting off tonight. I'm going to go Malik Willis, Tennessee Titans.
Wow.
Next one.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, I mean, last year was just, you know, all the things we worried about in the draft process came to a head where it just is so raw. You know, we see the physical talent. We saw in the preseason some of the runs, some of the arm, the throws, and all that. But when he got into regular season football and things were a little more complicated and defense did different things, he was, you know, treading water big time and struggling there. So I want to see how much he's developed. Is he going to be able to hold off Will Levis for a long time? Is he going to give the organization confidence maybe to move on from Tannehill after this year, and then he could be the guy? So that's the one I think I'm very intrigued to see the development through this offseason.
Jim Wyatt, who has covered the Titans forever and now works for the team directly, he wrote several weeks back that he thought Malik Willis was odd man out after they drafted Levis, but Willis had a great offseason.
Yeah,
Mike
great.
Vrabel, the head coach, has said so himself. I think Vrabel was against the Willis pick last year.
Yeah.
This year he's softening up some. Willis is playing better, and this is a prime example of a team that could keep three on the 53-man roster.
No doubt.
Keep these guys around because it could be Levis and Willis in 2024. Next one for me, I will go
What will you go?
Jarrett Stidham.
Okay.
Denver Broncos.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Just because what did Sean Payton do right out of the gates in free agency? Boom. Get Jarrett Stidham.
Yep.
He had, you know, pretty good performances late in the year when Derek Carr got benched so they wouldn't owe him $40 million in guaranteed money. And Stidham looked good. And there was talk maybe he'll stay with the Raiders.
Yeah.
And there he goes to Denver. So he's the emergency option in the event that Russell Wilson, for whatever reason, can't get it done, can't perform at the level that Sean Payton expects. Wilson out, Jarrett Stidham in.
I hear you.
I'm not saying it's going to happen,
no.
But that's the insurance policy that Sean Payton has.
That's why he's
place.
There. Exactly right. He's there in case it falls off, and he knows that Jarrett Stidham's been taught, knows how to play, and we can rely on him, and we won't fall off earth if he has to play quarterback.
All right, quick break. We'll finish up the draft. The backup quarterbacks, we will be closely watching this preseason when PFT Live continues right after this.
You know what surprised me the most is I learned that Matt Milano loves house music. He loves the real upbeat, like nts, 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 nts.
Like
the
nts, nts, nts. Like Jersey Shore shit. Like, bro, it's typical Matt Milano, right? Italian guru. All pro Lano. Looks like a mannequin. Bumps his chest to house music.
Deion Dawkins is so smooth that while delivering that critique of Matt Milano, he could wipe his nose with a towel and check it and just keep going. And nobody noticed except me.
Seriously. I'm not surprised Matt Milano likes house music. Yeah, he fits that mold right away. He's from New York. You know, that's popular up there. Like they said, he's Italian stallion. That is total Jersey Shore.
It would fit too. The house music fits. There's a gif out there. Yeah, exactly.
He's got he frosts his tips a little bit and wear a gold chain and open up the shirt a little bit. He'll fit right in down in
the
Jersey Shore.
I think the guys
Shore.
Have the shirt that say Italia and they're doing this.
Yeah.
I'll send it to you after the show if I remember. I probably won't. Okay, I got to remember to get back to the draft. Backup quarterbacks we will be watching most closely this preseason.
I'm going to go, you know, this one's not necessarily anything special, but I want to go with Jameis Winston. Jameis Winston, I felt like got a little bit of a raw deal last year. I know Andy Dalton came in and did some good things and all of that, but we know he's been a starting quarterback. You and I both know he's got talent. People see it. Coaches see it, right? Just see how he reacts being the backup to Derek Carr and all of that. Does it embolden him? Does it loosen him up? Does it change his game at all? That's one I'm kind of intrigued to see the interaction because, really, in a lot of ways, Jameis Winston has some physical abilities that are better than Derek Carr. So that's where I'm interested to see what he does with that offense and some of these weapons he's got in the preseason.
All right, last one for me. And I thought about making this guy the first one. Mike White. Because
yeah.
Tua's got to stay healthy.
Yeah, of course.
And Tua wasn't able to stay healthy last year. He's had an issue with staying healthy. And if he can't stay healthy, they need a backup who can come in and stay healthy, which we haven't seen from Mike White.
I know.
But also be effective. They almost beat the Bills last year with Skylar Thompson playing. Teddy Bridgewater couldn't stay healthy when he got a chance to play. Mike White has an opportunity similar to the one he had in New York where the door opens, in you go, and off you go with the Mike McDaniel offense.
Right.
And I want to see Mike White operate that offense in the preseason, get a taste of what may happen if for some reason Tua can't play.
Yeah, I hear you. I mean, I thought it was a great signing by them. I mean, he has some starting quarterback caliber traits about him. His biggest flaw is kind of what you alluded to, is just, sometimes getting out of danger's way and just, not standing there and just getting lambasted and crushed like he did in the Buffalo game last year. He's got to learn to, play that game a little bit too. There's a part where it's, hey, you're tough, and then there's a part where, hey, you're freaking crazy and stupid. You need to duck or go down in this scenario, and he needs to find the balance there.
All right, we got to take a break. We'll have more PFT Live after this. Do we have some Italian house music on the way out?
Sorry.
We don't have it yet.
We're working on it.
Stay tuned. More PFT Live right after this.
Reality show or game show, you'd win. I would say Family Feud. Like, that's my favorite, game show, so Family Feud.
Are you smarter than the fifth grader? That's easy.
Dwayne Wade, new show, The Cube. I'll win that.
Family Feud. My family's pretty smart. I feel like we do a really, really good job.
Probably a Family Feud. I'll win that one.
Me and my family, we're pretty good at Family Feud, so I feel like we'll win that one.
Ooh, The Price is Right, for sure.
Reality show or game show, I would win Wheel of Fortune.
Who has that game show? Steve Harvey. Steve Harvey game show, I would like to go on that. I think I'd do a pretty good job.
Family Feud, for sure. I think me and my family, we could win that 100%. You give us like 6 months to prepare for that, we can win that.
Months.
Oh, yeah. I'm going all in or all out.
That's a good question. I'd probably say Family Feud. I think I'd win Family Feud.
Family Feud. Yeah, Family Feud. Yeah, I think we'll win that, but it's a great game show.
Reality show or game show, you win. Ooh, I'll say Dancing with the Stars.
Whoa.
Yeah, I got some moves.
Oh, gosh. Oh, good Lord.
Oh, hey. Rogers is leading the show.
That's good.
I like it. I love Family Feud.
I went through a stretch after the draft when I was decompressing from football where I was watching Family Feud over and over and over again. It is hilarious.
Oh, look at that. Don't waste your time reading crap like that, it says under Rogers. Way to go, Rogers. Way to go, team.
That's more of a Jeopardy question. What is PFT? We'll be back with more right after this. A year has gone by since the last time we were in this library with a bunch of books you've never either seen nor read before, although you have seen them before because they loomed over us last year. Oh, that's funny. Well done. All right. More interesting than that. Yeah, I see.
Quarterback of the future.
Yeah. Oh, wait, there's playmakers down there.
Yeah,
oh,
they
got my
playmakers
full collection. Look, JFK and the Unspeakable.
Father of Mine,
well.
All the good
books.
Good
Night Moon. I'm not sure could read every word in that. I can't tell what's up in the middle. What's in the middle?
I can't.
Oh, it's record the record and fact book. We got Mad Dog's record and fact book. So
signed by Roger Goodell.
You know, we won't be here for two more years because next year I learned this last night. Next year's the Olympics, so
right.
We don't have the Hall of Fame.
Yeah,
game,
so we still can't go to the Hall of Fame. We still can't go. Yeah. We got to wait 2 more years.
2 years from now, I'll bring some books to put on the shelf.
2 years from now, we're gonna do this damn show at the Hall of Fame. I'm gonna torture everybody until we're at the damn arena there.
Pete, how much time do we have left?
1 minute and 15 seconds.
Do we have enough time to enjoy the, or we can do that on the way out at the end? Oh, there it is. That's the house music. It's Matt Milano and his cousin Vinny.
Yeah, exactly right.
With the house music.
Oh, yeah, baby.
All
right, look
well
at that.
Done. Right. Well done. I guess those are guys who were from the show Jersey Shore.
Jersey Shore, they are,
SNL.
Yeah. You go down to Seaside Heights, New Jersey, you'll see 9,000 of them walking on the New Jersey boardwalk right there.
And you grew up there.
And you go up there. And yeah. You got to be, like you always say, you're on that boardwalk at the Jersey Shore, you got to be always ready to answer one question, very crucial.
Have you ever?
What the F are you looking at?
Yeah, well,
you don't understand. Yeah, that's Jersey right there. Yeah. So you better have that answer real quick.
Oh, and my mother had the all-time great response when she was asked that question.
Right. What was it?
You dirty ass.
You're right. If you say that in Jersey, you might be in a fight. So you gotta worry about it.
All right. So you won't be here tomorrow.
No.
Oh, you will be here in Canton.
No.
But you won't be
I'll
here.
I'll be in Cleveland.
You'll be in Cleveland.
I'm in Cleveland. I'm excited
for
the weekend.
My wife's coming into town. You're going to the Ritz up there?
Going to a
Four
better
Seasons.
Hotel a little bit.
Seasons.
Yeah. No. Enjoy Cleveland, the city, downtown.
I bet they don't have a library there.
Have fun working tomorrow.
Enjoy the game tonight, 7 o'clock Eastern.
See ya.